Psalm 134, the word of the Lord says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." You can be seated this morning. Thank you graciously for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord from Psalm 134. I'm going to remain in this psalm for the entirety of the message this morning and preach to you on a subject that you'll understand here in just a moment when I say that I want to preach on what happens at the top. What happens at the top. Now, Psalm 134 is a psalm of degrees, and this is the 15th of 15 songs of degrees. There are 15 of them. This is the 15th and final one. These psalms of degrees would be sung by pilgrims entering into Jerusalem as they climbed the mountain into that city of God that is set upon a hill. Jerusalem is a city on a hill, and everyone that enters therein, whether they come north, south, east, or west, climb up the hill to the top before they would worship God in the temple. Then when they arrive at the temple is set upon a high place, and there are many steps going up into that high place. And then as you go into the sanctuary, it again is elevated. And there are 15 steps going up into the sanctuary, into the temple, at the days of the writing of these psalms. And as these pilgrims would journey into the city of Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms as they would climb the hills. Tradition teaches us then that the pilgrims, when they arrive at the temple, would sing one of these psalms per step as they climbed the steps of the temple into the temple complex. 15 steps, 15 songs of degrees. One song for every step rising up to the top as they would then arrive at the top or the peak, the apex, the highest place where there they would worship the Lord at the temple in the sanctuary. These 15 psalms deal with a myriad of subjects. Some deal with fellowship and family and forgiveness. Some deal with promises, power, peace, prayer, precepts. Some deal with sacrifice, with sheep, with souls. There are those that deal with work, with the word, with wisdom, with worship. But this is the final of the 15 that they would sing when they arrived at the top. Psalm 134 is what happens when you reach the top. This would be the last that they would sing, arriving at the top of the mountain, arriving at the top of the step, arriving at the top of the complex where the house of God would be, where the Lord says He chose to write His name among His people. Psalm 134, we see what happens at the top. When they arrive at the top, there is an exhortation, probably from the high priest to those priests and Levites who watch in the temple by night to spend their time profitably and to duly celebrate the praises of God. There is the prayer of the priests and Levites for the high priest, who seems now to be going to the place of his rest, and for the people who will worship at the temple in the coming day. It seems like a strange thing to sing on the top step. It seems as though their song is about the least notable persons in the service at the temple, whose service is in the dark, those who stand by night in the house of the Lord, whose service is unseen. But those are the ones that God puts at the top. You see, 1 Peter 5 and 6 said, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." The people you think are at the top and the people God says are at the top may be two different people entirely. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Mark 9:35, "He that will be first will be last, and he that shall be last shall be first." Did you know the way up with God is down? If you'll humble yourself before the Lord, that's how you get exalted. That's how you are promoted in the way of God. When we stand before the judgment seat, which we'll talk about in the Sunday school lesson on next week, I'm afraid a lot of the folks who we think are going to be at the front of the line are not going to be at the front of the line. Those who we maybe don't understand what God's done in them, through them, for them, how they've served the Lord, they'll be way on out ahead of everybody else because they've fulfilled the plan of God for their lives. And those who the Lord promotes at the top are people you would not expect in this chapter of the Word of the Lord. I want to examine these three verses this morning and show you what happens when you're at the top, or what happens at the top. First of all, I want you to notice this morning, what happens at the top is praise happens. I mean, the Bible said, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord." Notice the inclusivity of this command. All the servants of God are to bless the Lord. It's not just for the preacher or the song director or the minister of the music or whoever is leading the worship service or who may be the superintendent of Sunday school or the Sunday school teacher or that one that you expected to say amen, but all your servants of the Lord, we're all supposed to be worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and blessing the Lord. The inclusivity of it, that is, it includes you and it includes me, and we all are to bless the Lord. And then notice the imperative of this command. It's not optional. The verb is to bless. He said, "Behold, bless ye the Lord." The verb is to bless. The object of our blessing is the Lord, and the subject is you. It is you, it is me, it is us. We are to bless the Lord. And then notice the insistence of the command. The Bible says, "Behold, bless you the Lord." That word "behold" is the Hebrew word hanei. Hanei, which means to take heed, to be on guard, to be aware. Your God is a jealous God, and He seeks your praise. He seeks for you to honor Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to lift Him up, to bless Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. At the end of that Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, all ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers that do that, ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Psalm 100 said we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You say, "Preacher, that's all Old Testament teaching and Old Testament verses." Well, let me give you at least one from the New Testament, confirming the old. We learned this morning in the Sunday school lesson that we can't discount that Old Testament anyway, that it's a schoolmaster to point us unto the new covenant. And so we're not going to discount or, my friend, in any way, disparage the teaching of the Old Testament. We're to fulfill it. Matter of fact, we are to exceed it in the new. And in the First Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8, this is what the Apostle Paul says, "I will will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The Apostle Paul said what they told us to do in the book of Psalms is right. We are to bless the Lord. We are to raise our hands. We are to praise God. We are to glorify Him with an open hand and to give honor and glory unto the Lord. That man of the Old Testament whose name was Judah, his name literally means to praise the Lord with an open hand. It literally means that he has his hands out, as it were, lifted up unto God and praising the Lord. You know who the Lion of the tribe of Judah is? It's the Lord Jesus. Jesus comes through the tribe of praise. He comes through the tribe of worship. He, my friend, would have still been God. And I thank the Lord. God is who he is. And the Lord could have chosen and promised to send him through the tribe of Benjamin or Issachar. Could have chosen and promised to send him, my friend, through the tribe of Manasseh. But instead, God said, my son will come through the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe whose name means praise. That's the tribe who has been involved with praise in the Lord. That's the tribe who hosts the city of Jerusalem, where I've written my name, where I told you to stand up at the sanctuary in the house of God, lift up your hands and praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. That's the one I'm going to send my son through, because his son is worthy of our praise. And we ought to bless the Lord this morning. We ought to honor the Lord. We ought to glorify the Lord. The world, look at what's going on in the choir here today in our song service, and folks raising their hands and shouting the glory and praising the Lord, and they'll say, I don't see any sense in all of that. That's because they don't know what we know. But praise God, if you're saved by the grace of the Lord, there's plenty of reason for us to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and to bless the Lord and to praise Him and to give Him honor and to glorify Him. He said, all of you that are there standing in the house of the Lord, he said, I want you to praise the Lord. I want you to bless the Lord. I want you to lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord when we stand and sing Amazing Grace. And we sing praise God, praise God, praise God. I've seen folks stand around, you know, like this, and they almost don't want nobody to see them raise their hand, you know. And they don't want to not raise it because they don't want to be disrespectful. You ever notice that complainers talk through their nose? I just don't know, preacher. I just don't know. I've had a hard time. You don't understand what I'm going through. And I'm telling you, we ought to go ahead this morning and be willing to raise our hands and bless the Lord. I preached, brethren, many of you, most of you know Brother David Pettijohn. I preached for him several years ago at a church where he pastored up in Tryon, Georgia. I enjoyed the meeting. People were so nice. The church service were so good. I enjoyed everything about it, but I'll tell you what I enjoyed the most. They opened every service and closed every service blessing the Lord. And I didn't know what he's talking about. We went in the first service that night and he said, let's get the service started. Everybody stand with me and bless the Lord. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. I'm standing around looking, wondering what it is we're doing here. And everybody would stand and raise their hands and quote Psalm 103:1. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. And they opened every service that way, and they closed every service that way. And I'm reminded in our text this morning that it is scriptural for us to stand in the sanctuary and lift up our hands and bless the Lord. Amen. And since it's scriptural, I want us to do it. Everybody stand with me if you will, please. And we're going to bless the Lord. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You can be seated this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all His benefits. You think these padded pews we're sitting on this morning are benefits? You think this conditioned air is benefits? That automobile you rode in this morning to the house of God, you think that's a benefit? That clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and food to go in your belly, you think that's a benefit the Lord gave to us? Well, we ought to just bless Him and praise Him and thank Him and glorify Him and lift Him up. He deserves and is worthy of our praise. What happens at the top? When we get to church, we ought not to be sitting around looking like we got the mully grubs and our mother-in-law's moved in with us and we've lost our best friend and we all just about to cross over Chile and Jordan weeping and squalling over it. We ought to be excited to be in the house of God and to know the God of the house and our friend to be able to worship Jesus and to glorify Him. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What happens at the top? Praise happens at the top. Then, my friend, not only do you find praise at the top, but you find priests at the top. The Bible said that when they got there, they said, "Behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord." Those standing by night are the priests who serve in the midst of the night. And, my friend, they're there all night long. They had two primary jobs while they were there in the temple all night long. First of all, it was to keep the oil lamps burning. Keep the oil lamps burning. Exodus 27 and 20 says, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always, ere the lamp of God went out before the presence of the Lord," is the phrase that's used in the book of Samuel. Leviticus 24 and 2, "Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually." We have two exact commands, one from Exodus, one from Leviticus. These lamps would burn all night. They didn't burn at full power, my friend, but they required a 24-hour surveillance to make sure a dim and continual light never went out. God set the light in that place. It was the Lord's light, not the light of the priests, not the light of the Levites, not the light of the people, but the light of the Lord. And that light was to burn all night long. They would pull those lights. They would pull those lamps down to burning very dimly at night. But the priest's job was to make sure that the fire in them never went out, that they never lost their flicker or their glow. Watch to keep the light burning. Oh, praise God. For those in the house of the Lord who keep the lights burning, for those who keep the lights shining, somebody said, "Oh, church is not what it used to be. I remember this and I remember that. And I praise God for the things that I've experienced and that I can tell you about. And that I do remember in the times when the light was shining bright." But I want to say this morning, thank God for those that keep the light burning. And for those who keep the gospel shining out. For those in dim times and dark times and night times who faithfully serve. And hey, they don't quit. They don't go home. And they don't give up. And they don't give out. And they don't go to sleep. And they keep the light burning. Hallelujah. Praise God. A dark day is coming in this old world. I believe we're already living in dark days. And I'm afraid to tell you the truth of what I think, that it's going to get darker, friend. But my children and yours need a light. They need a lamp. Don't take your lamp and hide it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house in this old dark world. Thank God for those who are at the top. They keep the light burning. They keep the light shining. Praise the Lord. And He's still calling men out of darkness into His marvelous light. I mean, keep the home fires burning. And keep the lamps trimmed and burning. Praise God. And one of these days we're going to see the Lord. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning. Get your wedding garments on. He'll be with us at that supper. Praise God. I'm telling you, friend, we're coming to the end of this way. And just beyond the eastern gate. And I will meet you in the morning. Praise God over there. I mean, let the light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Somebody ought to keep the lamb burning tonight. Somebody's got to keep the lamps burning. Their job was to keep the lamp burning. The second job that they had is just as important, and that was to feed the fire at the altar. To feed the fire at the altar. Leviticus 6 and 9 says, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Verse number 12, and the fire upon on the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn there on the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Oh, praise God. It was their responsibility to keep feeding the fire at the altar. And there was no lamb on it all night. And there was no sacrifice on it all night. There was no glory on it all night. But somebody had to feed the fire. Somebody had to stoke the flames when nobody was standing in the house of God, praising the Lord, giving offerings, worshiping the Lord, bowing down before the Lord. In the middle of the night, somebody had to reach over and grab a poker and shake up the fire a little bit and decide, do we need another stick on the fire? Do we need another piece of wood on the offering? Do we need somebody else to attend to the altar? We can't let the fire go out. Tomorrow somebody will need to worship again. Tomorrow somebody will need the altar again. Tomorrow somebody will want to worship again. And we're going to need this fire. We're going to need this altar. It's my responsibility. I'm going to stoke the fire. I'm going to get to the altar. I'm going to stir things up. I'm going to be the one that keeps the fire burning around the altar. Amen.
God help.
Praise God. Somebody this morning ought to hear the preacher for just a minute now. As a matter of fact, everybody ought to listen to what I'm about to tell you. We come to church and we preach and we pray and we sing and we shout, and it comes time for we call people specifically to the altar. The altars are always open, but we give specific open invitation to the altar. And somebody will need to pray somewhere or another. It may be you. You may need to pray. Need to pray. You may have a specific need to pray. You may need to get saved. You may need to get right with God. You may need to trust in the Lord. You may need to repent of sin. You may need help through a struggle or a trial or a storm. My friend, you may need to pray. But if even you don't need to pray at that day, you ought to be concerned about the fact that the fire stays stirred at the altar. And my friend, sometimes you ought to just come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm here to stoke the fire because somebody else is going to need to pray. And if we quit using the altar, then they won't have a place to pray. If we shut the altar down, then they're going to need that place, and there'll be dust on the altar where we used to pray. Somebody ought to stoke the fire, and somebody ought to stir things up, and somebody ought to pray, and my friends, seek after the Lord for others. I think about the Apostle Paul whenever his shipwreck. I'm chasing a quick rabbit, but I'm going to catch it. The Apostle Paul when his shipwrecked in Acts chapter 27, have been in chapter 28, how that they are on that little island, and the barbarians there kindle a fire for him, and Paul went out and started gathering up sticks, and he threw the sticks on the fire. Most of y'all remember that passage of scripture, because a snake jumped out, grabbed a hold of him, and it tried to kill him. But what I'm interested in is how they started the fire, and Paul went out and grabbed some sticks and put it on the fire. He said, I didn't start this thing, but I want it to keep going, so I'm going to stir it up. I'm going to stir a fire that I didn't start. I did not start old time religion. My friend, the church is around long before I was. But I do have a desire to stir a fire somebody else started. I want to stoke that fire. I want to stir that fire. I want to struggle, and I want to pray, and I want to contribute, and I want to gather up sticks for this sake, because somebody's going to need that altar. They fed the fire at the altar. Those were their two jobs. Keep the lamps burning. Feed the fire at the altar. They had to have the character to do the job all through the night. They had to be consistent when nobody was watching. Not to sleep on the job. Not to let down the nation that was depending on them. Not to cut corners. Being at the top is not to receive adulation and praise from everybody else. But it's to be counted faithful by the Lord. It is to be dependable, to be trustworthy. Leviticus 10 and 1 tells us when Nadab and Abihu were not faithful, have my friend to this job, and they cut corners, and they tried to offer some strange fire unto God, and they were slain before the Lord. And my friend, the nation is counting on the priest to do his job, these men to keep the fire burning, and they had to be, had the character be found, how dependable to do this. I wonder if the church is counting on you to keep the lamps lit, if your family is counting on you to keep the fire stoked, if they're counting on you, my friend, not to go to sleep in the darkness of these days, and to serve the Lord. Will you have the character to be found trustworthy, to stay up through the night, and to serve the Lord in dark times, and my friend, to be faithful in the discharge of your respective duty? May God help us. Amen. They had to have the character to do the job. They had to have the right attitude to be able to work. They had to be able to work alone. Some people can't work without supervision. They got to have somebody leaning over their shoulder, cracking them on the head with a stick, or else they just won't do anything. I mean, there are some people, y'all young people, listen to me right quick. There are some people, if you don't pop them in the head with something all the time, they will fiddle with their phone all day long while they're on the clock. And they don't do anything but check Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and LinkedIn and I don't know what all else. And to my friend, all day long, all they'll do is nothing. And they'll waste and squander the day if somebody don't hold them accountable. Praise God for somebody holding folks accountable. Else we'd all starve to death the last 10, 12 years. But these people couldn't be that kind. Nobody was there to hold them accountable. They were working independently, alone, in the dark, without supervision. They had to have the right attitude. There was nobody to answer to but the Lord. Who are you when nobody's around? Who are you when nobody's leaning over your shoulder? How do you serve then? Do you pray with the same desire? How do you seek after the Lord with the same attitude? Do you read and study His Word? What does your Bible look like? How do you study your word? How committed are you to the role God has given you to play?
Amen.
They had to have the right attitude.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something tonight? There's a lot of folks not cut out to do this night work.
Right.
A lot of people not cut out for the night shift. Amen. There's a lot of people's good employees through the daytime, but they just can't hardly handle working through the night. They're just not cut out for it. It's not for them. My friend, hey, just don't work at night. They can't do it. Back years and years ago, this has been a long time ago. Sonia and I are not young as what we used to be. This has been a long time ago when Sonia and I both used to be really young. She took a job working all night long. And it was a decent job in terms of paid pretty decent, and it should work all night long. And it was one of those things where working all night long really just meant babysitting the store all night long. And it'd be easier to work all night than what it is to just sort of sit all night, be alert all night, not go to sleep all night. And if she can go to sleep, all she got to do is get still and stop talking, and she's asleep. And if she's just not really cut out for night work, I went up and stayed with her a few nights.
all night long, and I stayed awake and she went to sleep. And I'd wake her up if something come along that needed to be done. And I wasn't getting paid, but I could stay awake because I don't have trouble staying awake. I have trouble going to sleep. And she has trouble going to sleep, not staying awake. And so for her, night work was not what she was cut out for. There are some people have a hard time with night work. You've got to have the right attitude. You've got to have the right character. You've got to have the right will. And these people arrived at the top, and they didn't look around at the high priest and say, "Wow, he's a cat's meow. That's the one we're going to honor." They didn't arrive at the top and say, "Look around at all the people serving and blowing and going and doing, all the people bringing in offerings and all the people coming to worship." They said, "You know what? How we arrived at the top, how we think we ought to pray for those people staying up all night. We ought to pray for those people stoking the fire. We ought to pray for those people stirring up the lamps. We ought to pray for those on the night shift, those logging dark hour duty." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Mama, you need to log some dark hour duties for your family, for your children. Daddy, and preacher, and song director, and Sunday school teacher, you need to log some alone time with God, praying about the things to which the Lord has made you overseer, to the things that God has trusted into your care, the family that God has blessed you with, the people that are around you, the place of service that he has given you. It doesn't matter that anybody else is seeing or not. What matters is that God sees and God knows what you're doing. When we arrive at the top, what is it we find? We find praise. We find priests. We find the preeminence at the top. Preeminence. Who is it that has the preeminence at the top? Well, it's found in the theme of the verses. "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." 5 times this psalm tells us who really matters at the top, and it is the Lord. And my friend, it's not about you and me. It's not about Dr. Bottle Stopper, Sister Know-It-All. And my friend, at the top, it is all about the Lord. And 5 is a number of grace in the Bible. And if these men were to stand at the top, God would have to supply grace for them to stand, to serve, to stir the fire, to be strong through the night. You can serve through the dark hours if you know the grace of the Lord, and if you let him be first in your life. Life at the top is a life of self-denial. It is a life of honoring God. It is a life of lifting up God. If you will be first, if you will be at the top, then make yourself servant unto all.
Amen. Amen.
James and John, the sons of thunder, come to the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Lord, we just got one request. Just let my brother sit on one side of you, and let me sit on the other side of you when we come into the kingdom. All we really want is to be the second in command, and we just want to control everything. That's the only request we have, is just to be in charge of everything and to be above everybody and to be greater than all of them, especially all of these disciples, Peter and Bartholomew and all the rest of them. We're going to be greater than all of them. That's all we ask of you, is to make us number one. Put us on either side of you." And the Lord said, "You don't even know what you're asking for." He said, "Those that one that will be first among you, let him be servant to all of you." He took them into the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, and after he feeds them, and my friend, before he feeds them, he sits down and he washes their feet, and he says, "If I have washed your feet, then you ought also wash one another's feet." And said, "Is a servant any greater than his Lord?" If you will be at the top, you'll have to humble yourself and be a servant and let God have all the preeminence. You cannot seek after self-glory and be at the top. You can't spend your time patting yourself on the back and be at the top. You can't seek after everybody bragging on you and be at the top, friend. It's an impossibility. You must give the Lord the preeminence if you're going to spend time at the top. Preeminence. And then what else do we find at the top? We find the premises at the top. I praise God for where they got to. Amen. They climbed this mountain, but they're going somewhere. The journey is long and arduous and difficult. Have my friend filled with thieves along the side of the highway, perils on the side of the road. There were for many of them traveling through the deserts and through the wilderness to get there. There were snakes that would bite them or scorpions that could kill them. But it was worth the journey because they were going somewhere. Jerusalem is a city set upon a hill. And my friend, they were going to that city of God. And they were going to the house of God. And they were going to the tabernacle of God. And they were going to the temple of God. Oh, praise God for the premises. Verse number 1 said, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. The house, the tabernacle, the temple. And my friend, it was a compound when it was a temple. In the days of Solomon to come, it was a compound with large gardens, grounds, courts, and all of this was considered part of the temple. I mean, friend, there were different divisions, different segments, different parts. Oh, but when you get to the top, it's the sanctuary. Verse 15, verse number 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And this was the innermost part of the temple compound. It was as close to the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory of God, as what they could get. I want to tell you how you stand in the dark. I want to tell you how you stand all night. I want to tell you how you stand when you're tired and when you're weary and when you think you're going to fall. Get as close to God as what you can get. Spend time near unto the Lord, and you can have power of God even through the nighttime hours of life. The premises, the sanctuary. Praise God, we're blessed this morning to be able to come to church. I mean, it's a blessing. It's an honor to be able to come to the house of the Lord. I thank God for a church to come to. I thank God for the people. My friend, for the praise, for the preaching. I thank God for all of it, for a church to come to. I praise God. And I like it. Now listen, I like a parking lot. I like it when I drive by and see the steeple on top of the church. I like it whenever I see folks coming in the house of God. When I drive by and I start to come in, I see folks coming in, maybe hold some little boy or girl by the hand, walking into the church house, does my heart good. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful to be in the sanctuary today, and to be on the premises, to be in the house, to know the Lord, to be saved. Amen. These are the things that get us through the dark hours of night. When you get to the top, you find some prayers being offered. You find folks praying at the top. Verse number 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You realize this was an all-night prayer meeting every night. Even the finest and most well-meaning disciples have trouble with this matter. Peter, James, and John. How would y'all think they were pretty good disciples? That Jesus said they were his three closest. I mean, they were the inner circle. And they only got invited to one all-night prayer meeting that we find record of in the Bible. And that one all-night prayer meeting they got invited to, they went to sleep, amen, and they slept through the night. Oh, praise God. And then my friend Jesus asked them to pray for him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The top with God is when we're committed to pray in secret, and the God which seeth in secret will reward us openly. I mean, friend, at the top is a life of prayer. It's a life of commitment. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life of seeking after God. Prayers. And then finally, I'm finishing with this morning. Not only at the top is there praise and priests and preeminence, the premises, the prayers, but then there's a purpose at the top. There's a purpose. Verse number 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth blessed thee out of Zion. Their purpose was to bless others. This is the prayer of the night shift. This is the prayer that they would bestow upon the high priest as he would resort to his home for rest. And they would pray, the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Oh, they're asking God to bless that high priest. They pray for the priest, the people, the peace of Jerusalem. It was as if they had said, we will attend to your orders. Go in peace. And may God shower down his blessings upon you. The blessing pronounced by the priest and most often was the following. May the Lord bless and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That was the command of God from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. That's the way these priests would pray. I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. If God were to glorify us, or if we were to glorify ourselves, it would accomplish nothing.
Amen.
Number one, because we're not worthy of it. Any glory that's placed on you or on me is misplaced. We deserve no glory, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We deserve no praise. Any adulation, any praise that is lauded and loaded upon us is misplaced. But when God declares that glory must be given unto him, that is because glory and praise is rightly placed when it is placed upon the Lord. When you praise God, you're doing right. When you glorify God, you're doing right. When you praise him, you're doing what you ought to do, because he is worthy of our praise.
Yes.
Not only that, if we were to be praised, it would help nobody but ourselves. It would lift up nobody but us. It would cause nobody else to be raised up or elevated except for self. If you brag on me, that doesn't help anybody else but me, and probably doesn't do me good either. In the end, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So it probably ought to just cut all of that out. Amen. How about if we'll brag on the Lord, if we'll boast in the Lord, if we'll lift up the Lord, if we'll praise the Lord, if we will bless the Lord, then he turns just sang around, they've been blessing the Lord. And now he says, the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. You know what happens when we bless the Lord? He blesses us. When we praise the Lord, when we thank the Lord, when we give glory to the Lord, when we bless the Lord, he blesses us. You know, when you go home and say, praise God, I got a blessing today. Praise God, that is a real me today. God help me today. It's not when you come to church and tell everybody how great you are. It's when you come to the house of God and you bless the Lord, then God blesses you, and you go home saying, I gotta bless him. It's because you bless the Lord.
Amen.
If we'll glorify him, he will elevate others, he will bless others, he will lift up others, all of us with him.
Amen.
That's our purpose. We didn't come this morning for big eyes and little U's. We came to bless the Lord. I'm finished preaching this morning. You can come with a song. What happens at the top? What you find at the top? Praise, priests, preeminence, the premises, prayers, a purpose. People are living their lives so empty. They have no cause. They have no purpose. They don't even know what they're here for. They don't know what they're doing, why they're doing it. They're in a hurry and they don't know why. They're seeking satisfaction and they try and they try and they try and they can't get no satisfaction. That's the old lost man's song. But the saved person has a purpose. He has a reason. He has a cause. What God says happens at the top is so different than what the world thinks. May the Lord help us today to be a people of consistency, character, and commitment. We see God's priorities today to promote praise, to bless people, to shine the light to the lost, and to welcome those that need forgiveness to an altar of prayer. I want to do my part to make the pilgrimage to the altar a blessing to others. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. What happens at the top? May the Lord help us. God spoke into your heart in some way in the message today. I'd invite you to come. These altars are open. Everybody stand, please. If you're able and willing to stand, please stand with us. And if you need to pray today, I'd ask you not to squander a moment. Seek after the Lord in prayer. Stoke the fires of the altar. Live a life of self-denial. Let the Lord use you and work through you today, I pray. Sing for us when you're ready, please, sister. Would you obey the Lord and let God speak to your heart today?
Lord, just as the morning sunbeams bring the warmth and light to drive away the shadows lingering from night. Your love will do the same if we'll let it shine through. As I go about today, there's just one thing I want to do. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Just a smile perhaps will do to help them on their way. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today.
Will you enlist in the service of the Lord?
May I not look so far away that I cannot see the hands that are reaching out so close to me. When I lay my head upon my pillow tonight, may I have the peace of knowing that what I've tried to do was right.
Rather seek after the Lord.
I want to be a
blessing.
Seek
God's perfect will for your life.
To someone today.
Serve others.
Just
be a blessing.
A smile perhaps will do to help them on their way.
Bless the Lord and bless
Maybe
the people.
Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Maybe lend a helping hand or a kind word to say. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today.
As I read and studied this psalm this week, of course some of you remember several weeks ago, 6-8 weeks ago, I preached in that Psalm 131. Been studying through these songs of degrees, asking God to give me something on them. And as I was studying this week, this psalm, and I realized the context of it being, especially in that last verse, where that they were praying, these priests in the house of the Lord who served were praying blessings of God on the high priest, on the people, on Jerusalem, but especially on the high priest. I thought, my soul, the only way he can come in the next day and do his work is because they've been faithful through the night before. The next day he's going to come in with that outer garment on, those 12 stones all shiny, and that golden mitre upon his head that says, Holiness unto the Lord. The crowd's going to clap for him and rejoice to see him in there. Pat him on the back and honor him. He couldn't have done anything he was going to do had somebody not taken the duties of the night shift. I had to humble myself and bow my head before the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for all the people that you've put in my life that's been on the night shift. That's cleaned the church, mowed the grass, cooked meals, taught Sunday school classes, shook hands with little boys and girls, prayed for the sick, that have done all the things in the church, worked in the music, that have done things on the night shift to make it where I can do the work that I need to do for the cause of Christ. Everybody's got their role to play. But this morning I want to thank God for the night shift. I want to thank the Lord for those that are faithful in the darkness. I want to thank God for those who need not necessarily the praise of men, but they want to please the Lord. What a great, great lesson the Lord's taught me. I hope you, but I know He's taught me from Psalm 134. Pray about the service tonight that the will of God be done in it. If you obeyed the Lord, done everything the Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting this morning. John Alex, if you would please lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer and dismiss us this morning.
Lord, thank you for the morning of the scriptures we had this morning, Lord.